I was going to share from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. But I'm not quite sure I'm going down that road yet. In the society we live in, it seems to be awash with atheists who are trying to convert us to their faith. And we know the Bible says that the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And I know God's word will be vindicated. You know, science is trying to find its way, groping in the dark, trying to find where they come from, who they are. And, yeah, then they go down that path. But my God tells me that I was created in his image. Something went sour along the way, but my God is still there. You know, let's just turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 7, which is the first verse on the page. Right, so let's just read that verse 18 again. For the word of the cross is to those who are perishing foolishness, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. When it says the word, it isn't just a word on a page. The word is, it comes from the word logos, meaning intelligence. And it says, for the intelligence of the cross is to those who are perishing foolishness. And we know that the people that turn their back on God don't accept the cross. Don't accept the cross. And by that, they're missing out on the intelligence of God. They're missing out on the truth. The intelligence of the cross, if you look down at the bottom of that verse, is the power of God. Amen. The intelligence and of the cross and all that's behind it is the power of God. That's all. It's all concentrated in that. That one moment in history told everything. Yeah. In that one moment when Jesus came and died on that cross. Yeah. It says in John chapter 1 verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen. It meant the intelligence was with God. All the knowledge, the intellect, and that all was birthed in Jesus. Yeah. The whole character and nature of God. In John 1:15 it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Now if that just meant Word as a word, it can't then become flesh and dwell among us. That's talking about Jesus. So Jesus is the power of God. And further on it repeats it. But you see, then it, in that next verse after that, it goes on to talk about the wisdom of the wise. It says, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the cleverness of the clever I will set aside. What's wrong with the wisdom of the wise? This world survives on the wisdom of the wise. But God's saying that the world's wisdom isn't true wisdom. It's not based on the knowledge of the truth. The truth is that God created the heavens and the earth. He created it. He brought Jesus down to show us himself and to pay the price that no one else could pay. When it said, in my version it says destroy, it might say a different word in yours, but the meaning is it brings to naught. It says, I will bring to naught the wisdom of the wise. All the worldly wisdom is nothing. He says the foolishness of God is cleverer than any of the wisdom that the world can throw out. The thing is that we find another little piece in the jigsaw. And suddenly our conceit, humankind's conceit, is that we then think we know the whole story. But no, we just know a little bit more of how God did it. How God is sustaining everything. And they're constantly trying to find a way of explaining things without including God. And at the end of it, they come unstuck.
Yeah.
They come unstuck. Verse 20 says, where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world?
Yes.
See, when you tell your testimony, when you tell them what God has done in particular situations, the atheist has no answer to that. He'll try and counteract it by say, oh, it was chance, or it was this, or it was that. He'll duck under the fence. He'll not say, yeah, that was a miracle. There was something influencing that that we know nothing about, even though he might not know God. But he doesn't. He doesn't. Atheism, by its very definition, means that nothing matters, everything is random. We know that that is not so. So God's saying that all the wisdom that man can put together comes to nothing. Comes to nothing. God's letting us know what he wants us to know. And we're piecing bits and bits together. But it says, for verse 21, it says, For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believed.
Amen.
I just wanted to slot another word in there, which I think belongs there. It says, for since the wisdom of God, the world through its own wisdom did not come to know God. It's not come to know God by seeking out its own wisdom. You've got all the thinkers and the scientists from history in all the wisdom come to a dead end. There's so many unanswered questions that they can't answer. You listen to when they're talking about how life started, and they just said, well, life started.
No.
But how? You're going from an inanimate object to an animate object. But anyway, that's a different argument. We're not getting into arguments. We're just looking at what the Word of God says. What does the Word of God say? Because the Word of God is true. The Word of God tells us the truth about how things started, how things happened. It says, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe.
Amen.
We're saved because we believed.
Yeah.
Though it's foolish to the unbeliever. Mm. It's not foolish. It's the wisdom of God.
Yeah.
And God has chosen the foolish things to confound the wise.
Yeah.
Do you know, you're the foolish thing. I'm the foolish thing. And certainly as the world looks at us, that's what they think. But said, I'll take the foolish things to come along the way. God has not actually gone down the road of picking the Einsteins and the, you know, the brain boxes, the one with nth, you know, number of degrees at university. He's not gone to the... When he came, he selected fishermen. He selected labourers. He went to the normal, ordinary, humdrum people of the age. He didn't go to the elite. If he had done, somewhere in the mix, there would have been this thing, ah, well, they were there because they were clever. It happened because they were clever. But God says, no, I'm going to take the ones that you wouldn't think it would happen in. You wouldn't think it was possible in. And I'm going to do something in them and through them that's going to shake the world. And that's what he did. So when it said in verse 20, where is the wise, where is the scribe, where is the debater of the age? Well, they're not in it. Because they're all saying, oh, well, we know it all. We know what's happening. You can't tell them. They've got all the answers, they think. But you see, that's conceit and pride. We're just coming to the Word of God and saying, what does it say? And it's coming up with truth. Within the Word of God, there's things that when this was written, science didn't know about. But in this Word of God is confirming things that the science has since come up with answers. The one thing that springs to mind is freshwater springs at the bottom of the ocean. They couldn't even get to the bottom of the ocean, so they wouldn't know that. But the Word of God says this, tells us that there's springs at the bottom of the ocean. So there are things within the Word of God that's already confirming what man is finding out, and they will continue to find out. What we may not understand is some of the Word of God. We're continually learning. I keep coming across scriptures that, oh yeah, I didn't know that. But it confirms what is truth. It says, verse 22, it says, For indeed Jews ask for signs and Greeks search for wisdom. You got two factors there. The Jews are looking for signs, and the Greeks, or the Gentiles, or the Greeks were all intellects. I think, was it Aristotle or somebody? I remember a statue with somebody, you know, like a thinker. Not Bruce Forsyth, but, you know, somebody that it was in a pose of being a thinker. So they were trying to think it all out. All they wanted signs. I think somewhere it says that if you show me a sign, I'll believe. No, you'll not. Because by faith we believe. Even if they saw something, they would try and bring it within their intellectual view of understanding. Like trying to say that something happened by chance or whatever, or some other unknown. But they wouldn't admit that God has done it. So the Jews were seeking for signs and the Greeks searched for wisdom. But in verse 23 it says, but we preach Christ crucified. Yeah. If we don't preach that from the platform, then we're missing the point. Yeah. Christ crucified. That is the key to life. Yeah. That is the whole key to life. But to the Jews that were looking for signs, it was a stumbling block, because he didn't come down from the cross. No. They were looking for him coming down from the cross. No, he went through with it. Because he was running by faith. Because he knew God the Father would raise him up. So he knew what he had to do. Because if he hadn't done that, he wouldn't have took our sins upon himself. And we wouldn't have been cleansed. And the Gentiles, it says it's foolishness. Their intellect says, no, it's illogical, this. Why should somebody, you know, the very creator that made everything beyond the scale that we can even think about, can be bothered about us on this little planet? Yeah. Well, God says, with his heart. He's not, I mean, we can't conceive this, but God's not put off by scale. He can make us as tidy as he wants to make us, but it's the Spirit that's in us that he's linking with, and he wants us to link with him. Yeah. Our spirit linked with him, his nature, who he is. If he made us in his image, he sees his likeness within us. And you know, you love to be around people of like mind, like you are. It's good, isn't it? You feel good. You feel you belong. You feel you're part of. Yeah. It's a good thing in life to have someone around that you have things in common with, in your nature, in the things that you like, your interests and your ambitions. Verse 24, it says, "But to those who are the called, both the Jews and the Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God." We're coming back to what it said in verse 18. Christ, the power of God. Verse 18, it says, "The Word, the power of the God." It's saying the same thing. Christ is the Word, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. He's the wisdom of God. Christ has brought us the wisdom of the whole of creation. And it says, "But to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks," this is to everybody, regardless. Now, I looked up that word called, and it's like invited and accepted. It says, "To those who are invited and accepted," or have accepted, shall I say, "both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God in their lives." Christ is the power of God in your lives and in my life. He's saying he's the wisdom of God. He's the wisdom in our life as well. People who are going down a certain road, and I started to say this at the beginning, that people who are locked into something and they're going down the wrong road, and you say, "You need Jesus in your life." Well, what would that do? Well, for a start off, where is the source of the decisions you make now? Where are they coming from? They're coming from the wisdom of this world. When you take Christ into your life, the source of your wisdom comes from a different place. It comes from God Himself. So therefore, the decisions that you make and the direction we're talking about, the make your paths straight, the way that you go is from a different source. So your direction of your life starts to change, because the decision's coming from a different source and a different motive. God is opening up a new way. And we try to share this with people who are locked into drills and different things, to show them that there is a better way. There is a better way, and it's a way that they can walk. See, we all want instant. But when God takes you on a journey, it's not instant. You're not suddenly there. We are all on a journey. And the wonderful thing about our journey is that we know that God is there to help us make the right decisions, to do the right things, to have the right attitude of heart. We get it wrong because we don't always listen to God. Sometimes our own nature, our own temper and moods and different things take over. But God is not fazed, because He knows inside us is a great potential. Inside you is a great potential. And God has got hold of that potential in you. And He's nurturing you. He's nurturing each one of us to be something better. To be something better. To go to better places in Him. It's wonderful, and the world don't understand it. Each person has a spirit, and it's like they're shutting the spirit out of the life. People live very soulless lives. They live for the appetites of the nature, the body and its appetites and its emotions and appetites. God's got such a much bigger agenda for us. And He wants us to lead us in victory. Verse 25 says, "Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." There's nothing that can compare to God. There's nothing that can compare to him. You know that when you come to Jesus, everything falls by the wayside. If you've got a problem that's bigger than you are, you can't deal with it. When you come to Jesus, the only way you can come is honestly. Because all your armour's gone. Because you know everything's on a bigger scale than you can deal with. But Jesus just collects us in to himself. And I don't know how he must feel. When he sees us in pain at times, I don't know how he reacts. But his heart must be full for us.
Yeah.
And he can see sometimes what we've got to go through. But he can see the other side. He can see beyond. And sometimes the path that he takes us on are not what we would expect. And not even what perhaps we would want. But the thing is, they will definitely be what we need. Because that's what God's love is all about.
Yeah.
It's giving the best to us. Not necessarily what we think we need, but truly what we really need. When it says his wisdom is stronger or wiser than men, it means that he's always got the right answer.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't always got the right answer. I've gone through various problems, and I've had all sorts of. I could have written a list of all possible solutions, and the things that actually happened at the end were not on the list.
No.
Has anybody gone through that? And you think, I would never have thought of that. I would never realise that God could have taken me through that way. But he does, and he brings us out into the good ground. Verse 26, for consider your calling, brethren, that there were not many wise according to the flesh, and not mighty, not many mighty, not many noble. Going back to, Jesus called us, Jesus called you, not because you were wise, not because you were mighty, and not because you were noble. He called you, and I wrote it down somewhere. Where did I write it? Just let me just. I've gone away from this a bit. Right. Oh, I can't find it. But we were the nobodies. We were the cast-offs. We were the ones that the world. But they were the also-rans, if you like. God says, you're not. You're not also-rans with God. You're the apple of his eye. He chose you so he could put his potential in you. Not for you to have some conceited, success. He came to put his potential in you and me.
Amen.
And to start leading us in the way that would bring the greatest joy to him. And his joy is our completeness.
Amen.
His joy is our success in him. His joy is our victory in him. In verse 27 it says, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things that are strong. And the base things of the world and the despised God has chosen. The things that are not. That's what you are. You're the thing that are not. We're the things that are not.
Yeah.
But he might make, that he might nullify the things that are.
Yeah.
He's chosen us to put at naught the things that the world thinks are the mighty things, are the noble things. It says, verse 29, it says that no man should boast before God. We have not got one boast about ourselves before God. God has completely done it in us and for us, and is doing it in us and for us and through us. Everything that is in God can be in us. But it will only flow through us as we walk in faith in Him, as we trust Him to let it shine. Verse 30, it says, but by His doing you are in Christ Jesus. Yeah. By His doing, yeah. God's doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God. Amen. He's become wisdom from God to us, for our sakes, for us. It says, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. Yeah. I did write something down on that one. That was just flying out with a bit. Righteousness. Just as one should be in right standing with God.
Yes.
Righteousness. Just as one should be in right standing with God.
Yes.
Sanctification. It's purification. We're made pure because of Him. And redemption. Freed by ransom in full. Freed by ransom in full. That's a wonderful gift of the wisdom of God in our lives. Verse 31. That just as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord.
Yeah.
That wraps it all up.
Yeah.
Let him who boasts, boast in the Lord.
Yeah.
I can do nothing except through him who strengthens me.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Probably quite a race through there, but let me just turn to Jeremiah. There's a wonderful verse in Jeremiah that I found that really sort of lights things up. Chapter 9, Jeremiah chapter 9. We're starting at verse 23 through to 24. It says, thus says the Lord, let not a wise man boast of his wisdom, and let not the mighty man boast of his might. Let not a rich man boast of his riches, but let him who boasts boast of this, that he understands and knows me. Right? He understands and knows the Lord. That I am the Lord who exercises loving kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth.
Amen.
For I delight in these things, declares the Lord.
Amen.
What a wonderful, loving Father we have.
Right.
Who heals us, yes. Forgives us, cleanses us, sanctifies us, blesses us, and guides us. And the world says, there is no God. It is foolishness. Because my God reigns.
He does.
My God rules and reigns. And He loves me beyond any love that I could have from my wife, from my children, from my family, from my friends.
Yeah.
From me. My God loves me with a passion.
Yeah.
With a passion. Hallelujah. Okay. Praise God.